I think it's very important that we remember what God has done for us as we come to as we are at the day of the birth of our, celebrating the birth of our country. The song that we just sang, America, the last verse, says, Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. That should be the prayer of every American person, especially every Christian, that we would have the protection of God given to us and afforded to us not only by our Bible and by the Word of God, but those things that are given and protected in our Constitution. And by the way, the Constitution is a very important document that we have. And when they begin to make light of the principles and light of the doctrine of the Constitution, you can rest assured that rocky ground is ahead of us and troubles are beyond us and before us, because that piece of paper that has those very few words when compared to other documents that have been given down through history, that document affords to us why we are here this morning, or why we can be here this morning without fear of someone coming in upon us and our Bill of Rights that have been penned and given. And of course, those things are precious to people that love freedom and love liberty. But to those that despise us and hate us, those are the documents that they wish could disappear. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm, number 33, I'm going to read here, and then we'll read another passage in Psalm. And then a little bit, we'll turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. The Bible says in Psalm number 33, in verse number 12, it says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What a tremendous verse that is, or a portion of this verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now notice the last part of the verse, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. God has given to us an inheritance, a people that have been chosen of the Lord, and we are blessed of God. And you come together under a governmental authority. The Scripture says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Turn over to Psalm number 144. Psalm number 144, verse number 15. Psalm number 144, verse number 15. Happy is that people that is such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Happiness is brought about to you and I because God is our Lord. Blessing is given to us as a nation because God has been our Lord. America is a great nation, even amidst all the troubles and all the things that we so vehemently disagree with. America is built upon the principles that we can disagree and still be able to serve with each other. But we have a nation before us this morning that is changing very rapidly and very quickly before our eyes. And if we're not careful, within a generation or less than a generation, we will not find anything that resembles the country that you and I remember of our past. The Bible tells us that greatness comes from acknowledgement of God. And when a people and when a nation move from acknowledging God as their Creator, which has happened not only around the world but also in our country, and we move from acknowledging that there is a God in heaven, then the only thing that is left is that God will bring judgment upon that country. But America is a great nation. America not only has been, but I believe still, America is a great nation, and there are some things that have made us great. I want to just go through two or three of them before we get into the message this morning. The principles upon which we are founded, of liberty and justice for all, has made us a great country that we realize that all men are created equal. Now, I know that we've not always lived up to that, and there's been difficulties and problems along that line, but we still do understand and we do know that God is our Creator and that God has made us the same in His sight, that we need redemption, that we must have salvation. Those of liberty and justice for all men that could never be free where they were came to this country in order to have freedom and to have liberty. The values of our forefathers were values that they were principled men. They were people, they were family that were honest. They were folks that had not a lot of worldly goods, but they had the knowledge of God in their heart and in their life, and they put forth the precepts that God was the one that was going to, if we were going to have a great nation, it was going to be God that put it into to order. There are courage. There's been many courage of many of our military to die and people to sacrifice their life. From the very beginning, we have the man, Patrick Henry, that is known for giving us the statement, "Give me liberty or give me death." I have here this morning a copy of the of his entire speech, and it would do you good to realize that he said more than just "give me liberty" or "give me death." Probably one of the firebrands of the foundation of this country was a man by the name of Patrick Henry. He loved patriotism. He loved this country. And he certainly loved freedom. And I want to just share with you and read to you just a little bit of the speech that he gave March the 23rd, 1775. This speech is given after another group of people that had stood and they opposed the war that was inevitable to take place. And Patrick Henry, in the style of being a gentleman and a statesman, he writes and says these words: "No man thinks more highly than I do of the patriotism and the well abilities of very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed this house. But different men often see the same subject in different lights. And therefore I hope I will not be thought disrespectful to those gentlemen if entertaining as I do opinions of a character very opposite to theirs. I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve. This is no time for ceremony. The question before the House is one of an awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it nothing less than the question of freedom or slavery, and its proportion to the magnitude of the subject ought to be freedom of the debate. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at the truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country. Should I keep back my opinions at such a time through fear or giving offense, I should consider myself as guilty of treason toward my country and an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I reserve above all earthly things. Sir, we have done everything that could be done to avert the storm that is now coming upon us. We have petitioned, we have supplicated, we have prostrated ourselves before the throne and have implored the interposition to attest the tyrannical hands of a majesty of a parliament. Our petitions have been slighted and have produced additional violence and insult. Our supplications have been disregarded. There is no longer any room for hope. If we wish to be free, if we mean to preserve those inevitable privileges for which we have been so long contending, an appeal to arms and to the God of hosts and of all that is left us. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with such a formidable adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be next week or next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when the British Guard have stationed in every house? Sir, we are not weak if we make proper use of those means which God hath placed in our power. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will rise up friends to fight our battles with us. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is that gentleman's wish, and what would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty and give me death. That was a statesman giving forth his words and attributing the things to God. We hear so much today that our founding fathers didn't believe in God, or they were deists, or they didn't believe what we believe as far as the fundamentals of the faith. The following year, Patrick Henry wrote these words. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians." Thomas Jefferson wrote in the front of his Bible, "I am a real Christian." That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator. July 4, 1821, President Adams said the highest glory of the American Revolution was to connect one indissoluble bond of the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Those are the words of our founding fathers, just a few of them. Those are the words of men that we know their names, but tonight we'll see some names of others that's not so well known, but yet they had the same understanding about God. Our country is great because we are a diversity of people. We have diversity. We are not just one, but we're one of many. We have natural resources that God has given to us that can be used for the betterment not only of our country, but for the entire world. But yet we have those that would tell us that we harm the earth when we do those things. America is a benevolent country. When things happen around the world, who's the first to stand? Who's the first to give? Those are the things that have made America great down through the years. We have a system of government that we have checks and balances, that one is not more important than the other. We have the judicial, we have the executive branch, and we have the Congress. We have all those things together, and the coming together to check each other so that one would not be more important than the other. America has become and been great because of our love for Israel. No one can disavow the thought and the knowledge from the Word of God that a country that is blessed is a country that is blessing of Israel and has the benefit. We have the possibility of all those things that God has done to her. Our nation's motto is, "In God we trust." But yet there are those that would dispel and destroy and tear down that thought that there even was a God in our foundation. But it does not change the fact of where we stand. And we need not forget where God has brought us from. We need not forget what God has endowed upon us and given to us. Because when we forget, then we lose. And when we forget those things and we let someone rob those joys from us, then we begin to give those up because we don't know about them. This 4th of July, I believe we are seeing some tremendous things happen in our country that would be disavowed by our founding fathers. I believe our ancestors and those that would have and then did put their names upon the important documents of our country, I believe they would literally shudder at the thought of where we are today in 2010. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Simon Peter, servant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." Peter here tells us that God, by His divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and pertain to godliness. And we best not forget what God has done for us. If you would, just for a moment, turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And I want us to look at four things here that we better not forget about, that we need not to forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, we'll begin reading. Behold. Anytime you see the word behold in the Scripture, that means take note. That means to stop a moment, meditate, make sure you know what is being said. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land, whither thou go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. And this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is to all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I've set before you this day? Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget these things, which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Beware, take heed, lest thou forget. Now, I know that Moses here is talking about the nation of Israel. I know that he's talking about the statutes of God, the commandments that the Lord had given Israel. But I believe we can apply those to our modern day thought and modern time this morning of our own country. The Scripture says here, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as this law? Only take heed, lest thou forget. We better beware and behold, lest we forget our national blessings. God has blessed America abundantly, bountifully, more than any other country other than maybe Israel that has ever been upon the face of God's green earth. I do believe that God was working in the affairs of mankind when He called those men together to write our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and to guarantee us certain things that would be protected to us, that are given as inalienable rights from the Word of God and from the God that has given us all these things. And God has blessed us, but we better not forget the blessings that God has given to us. America is a good land. America is a nation. It's the greatest nation in the world, even with all of her problems. And there is none like her anywhere. This crowd today that thinks we're so bad and so out of step with time, and they want to change everything about a country, why don't they go to a country that's already gone that way and gone that route? Why don't they just move and leave from this place and trying to change our ways and our freedoms and our liberties? Why don't they go to the third world countries, what they want to make us? Nothing can compare to our country. God has given us a good land, a nation that is great and has been for hundreds of years. And God has given us the place where that we have abilities to do what we want to do and go where we want to go without asking any question of anyone. All you have to do is travel to a third world country. All you have to do is go out of the boundaries of this nation and find so many differences and so many things. America's a good land, but we better not forget it. America's a beautiful land. You go across our country, there's beauty to behold everywhere, and the majesty of the plains and the wheat fields and the grain that feeds the world. America is a It's a beautiful land. It's a fruitful land. It's a land of plenty. It's a strange thing to me that when the Berlin Wall was up, that they had guards on the wall to keep people from escaping out of that. And now we're talking about building a wall to keep people from coming into our country. Everybody wants to be in America. Why? Because they understand the greatness of our country and the ability as a fruitful land. I'm glad, thank God, that America's a free land. It's free to have liberty, to worship, to say and to do and to honor, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else or slander. We can say our mind and say our piece, and we have the idea, we have the knowledge, we have the protection that God has given to us, and it's afforded to us that these rights are given to us by God. So America's a free land. America enjoys the land of, in this land, freedom of travel. You can go from one state to another and not have to worry about it. You have the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the pursuit of happiness, whatever that might be. And we need to fix America, so they say. Beware lest we forget our national blessings. Secondly, we need to beware lest we forget our personal physical blessings. This morning we have homes in which we live. We have good clothes to wear. We have plenty to eat. We have money to spend. And we have safety. What more could a person want? What more could a people want? We better beware lest we forget. It'd be easy to forget all those things and just take them for granted, and all of a sudden they begin to disappear. We have our rights that are afforded to us in the Bill of Rights. You better thank God for the Bill of Rights. You better thank God that He moved upon somebody somewhere in days gone by, and they came together and they established these rights that are given to us. We have the right to make money. We have the right to spend money. We have the right to own. We have the right to be a customer to someone else. Really try not to use the word consumer. The word consumer is a socialist term. We're not consumers, we're customers. We don't just consume, but we also give. And we better beware lest we forget these blessings that God has afforded to us, lest we forget. We have those blessings that God, of national blessings, we have the personal physical blessings. Who of us this morning cannot go to a home and open the refrigerator and cook pretty much what we want to cook? Most of us don't want to cook. Most of us don't want to go home. So we go out. We have that right. We have that responsibility. We have that pleasure. Only in America. I don't know how many times I've heard Brother Solomon tell me, "Only in America, preacher." It's not that way everywhere else. It's only here in this country. May God bless America. Beware lest we forget our national blessings, our personal blessings. Thirdly, and just as important, maybe more, beware and let us not forget our spiritual blessings. In America, we have had the gospel preached. That hasn't happened in most other countries. We have had the gospel given to us time and time and time again. You read the history of our country and great revivals, places where men would speak the message and folks would get saved, and it spread all across the countryside. We better not forget our spiritual blessings that God has given us, that the gospel has been preached numerous times. We've heard, "For God so loved the world." We need to understand that we have salvation that has been provided us by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. These are spiritual blessings, that we have the Lord as our God, and we have His perfect Word. We have the Word of God. We have before us something that was given to us and preserved to us, and we have the message. We better know these are spiritual blessings that the Lord has afforded to us, and never forget those things. But sometimes we'll take our Bibles and we'll set them over and never read them any until the next Sunday morning. Someone told me the other day, he said, "You sure got me into the Bible." He said, "You handed out those, read the Bible through." And he said, "I've read it through 7 years in a row." I believe his brother Donnie told me that. Miss Mary told me this morning, she said, "I've read through my Bible 2 times now since I've been saved." That's more than some people can say that's been saved for 50 years. We have forgotten. The spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us found within the covers of this book that says Holy Bible. His perfect Word. Within it we find salvation. We find comfort. We find rest. We find guidance. And most of all, we find hope and blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. We are blessed. Most of the world doesn't even know what a Bible looks like. That's hard for us to understand. Most of the Bibles that are printed in the world are printed in the United States of America and shipped around the world. Wes, we better not forget our national blessing, our personal blessings, our spiritual blessings. And then, therefore, we need not to forget our obligations. If I have been blessed so much, then I have responsibility. If I have been given something that is worth the world, then I have responsibility to give it to someone else. The Lord doesn't tell us to hoard it up and to keep it. The Lord tells us to give it. The Lord tells us to have what we have and to use it and then to spread it and give it to others. We need to remember where God brought us from. Egypt was where Israel was taken from, and Egypt is where we are taken from. Egypt for us is a type of the world. Egypt for Israel was a literal nation that had put them in bondage and had betrayed them and used them unmercifully. Does that not explain the world in which we live? It puts us in bondage and it uses and tears down and destroys. We need to remember where God brought us from. We need to remember what God's brought us through. Ever since the inception of America, America has been in war. Even before the nation was born, it was in war. It has had many different skirmishes and wars from then on, and we're engaged in a war right now that who knows the end result of that. We have national leaders that say it's impossible to win. That's a shameful thing for anybody to say. If it's impossible to win, then let's come home. It is possible. The problem with war is it always becomes political. So we have a great nation that has been brought through a number of different things. We've had our wildernesses. We've had our valleys. We've had our troubles, we've had our difficulties, we've had our depressions, we've had all those things, but yet God has brought us through. As bad as everybody says we're in a bad state in our country, but if you go anywhere, it doesn't seem to show it. It hasn't hit bottom yet. We need to remember what God's brought us through. We need to remember what God's done for us personally. Need to remember what God's done for us church-wide. And need to remember what God's done for us in our country, lest we forget. We need to remember what God's doing for us. It's not all in the past. Thank God there's a great past, but there's some future also, what He's doing right now. What God does for us now. Beware, lest we forget our spiritual obligations. America has been a country that has been under God. One nation under God. indivisible, with liberty, justice for all. I pledge to that flag. We have a crowd today that would destroy what we hold because they have forgotten. Some of them have never known. But you and I this morning that know the Bible, know the Word, we better remember what God has done for us. For if we forget, then it can all disappear. Somebody says, oh, it can never happen. Open our eyes. It is happening. It's taking place right now. And it's been going on for a long, long time. It hasn't just happened the last year. Don't ever get that in your mind. What's taking place in our country started a generation ago. 2 generations ago. Made big inroads in the 1960s. But there we find the beginning of the crumbling of the foundation. What can we do? We're under obligation to stand for truth and righteousness no matter what. Patrick Henry said, it's either freedom or slavery. Give me liberty. Give me death. May God help us this morning to know where God's brought us, what He's doing with us. I believe He's working in this country. God's working in this world, and He's getting things ready for our taking out of here. Soon and very soon, we shall see the King. He's coming one day, and I pray it'll be very soon. Start this song. May God help us to realize and to know that we are a nation under God.
Under God, who walked in paths the founding fathers trod. But now it seems we've reached a new plateau, and we're the only God we need to know. One nation over God, we've reprioritized, and there's no need to speak of God at all. This nation over God just fails to realize that pride most surely comes before a fall. America is a nation originally established and settled by devout, God-fearing people who found it impossible to live out their beliefs against rising religious persecution in their European homelands. They made certain that their struggles to build this new nation were rewarded by constitutional rights to practice their Bible-based beliefs and to worship God freely. But today, these rights and these beliefs are being challenged as never before in the culture and in the courts of our land. We read in the Bible, in Judges, the 2nd chapter, in the 10th verse, and there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord. But Psalms 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We who reserve our highest loyalty to God must let our voices be heard to turn back the tide of those who would want to remove God from the landscape of our heritage and from our future. The Bible makes a monumental promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. But God still has a people in this land who vow for truth and righteousness to stand and recognize His full authority by living under God where we should be. One nation under God is what we pledge to be, and we shall never waver in our quest. One nation under God, so all the world can see that living under God has made us blessed.
Flag of the United States of America and to the nation for which it stands, one nation with liberty and justice for all. May God help us to pledge allegiance not only to our country but to our God. I think with that we're dismissed. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock.